This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. And this is Scott McCloud.
My name is Scott McCloud. I'm a cartoonist and author, and I've been making comics for a few decades now.
Scott's book, Understanding Comics, which is 25 years old this year, is a seminal deconstruction of comics as an art form and mode of communication. A little cartoon Scott jumps between panels of the 215-page book, explaining how pictures and words in combination create a new language for telling stories and describing the world. The book was the culmination of a bunch of ideas that had been swirling around Scott's head for years.
Everybody knew, or they thought they knew, what comics were, and it was a very limiting idea. And I see video games and other media dealing with the same problem today, maybe even podcasts, is that people have had this idea that comics were just four-color, cheaply printed, cheaply made comics about almost all superheroes or funny animals, that they were disposable entertainment, that neither the writing nor the art was anything that was going to last or be significant. And even though I saw a lot of comics that conformed to that definition, I mean, there were certainly plenty of bad comics out there, to me, it was just an art form. It was an art form that was capable of so much more. And I felt like the first step was wiping the slate clean and trying to approach it from almost a clinical, value-neutral sort of standpoint, where it's just like, well, what are the essential elements? And the essential elements of comics are just putting one picture after another and substituting space for time. You're just saying that as you move from one space to the next, you're moving from one moment to the next. And that idea, to me, had just limitless applications, and it drew a boundary around a continent of possibilities that, as far as I was concerned, we'd only just begun to explore.
When you wipe the slate clean and started with a new definition of comics, or at least a refined definition of comics, can you rattle it off the top of your head what the definition was from the book?
Oh, yeah. What I came up with was juxtaposed pictorial and other images in deliberate sequence, which just for fun, I got to, you know, like really narrow it down.
Just in case you didn't fully absorb that definition, it's juxtaposed pictorial and other images in deliberate sequence.
Some people thought that, you know, we had to stop calling them comics and start calling them juxtaposed pictorial and other images in deliberate sequences. No. You do that once and then you go back to calling them comics. People put a lot of value on labels, and a lot of folks, they get all up in arms that, oh, they're calling them graphic novels these days. They're putting on airs. And it's like, no. You can call it comics if you want. I was just saying that comics, we need to allow the word to take on new meanings. And every art form has different modes of dress, right? You can read about something in film comment, and then you can go to the Academy of Motion Pictures to see the awards ceremony, and then you can go out and see a movie the next day. Now, you're using these different words as different ways of illuminating the different functions, the different styles, the different moods that come out of that art form. But it's okay. You can still call them movies. You can still call them comics.
So if I were to pick up a comic book, are there certain things that you could teach me, like how to decode comics in a certain way that, like, you could tell me, like, oh, the artist is trying to do this when they do this?
Well, the first thing are the universals. That is, if you're looking at a comic strip or a comic book or a graphic novel, there are a few things everybody has to do. Whether they want to or not, these are the obligatory decisions that they all make. And one of the first decisions they make is choosing their moments. No matter what, you're breaking the world into moments. And it's a non-trivial problem, as an engineer would say. I'm a son of an engineer. And, you know, because if you think about it, any kind of narrative that you want to tell can be broken down in an infinite number of ways. You know, I could do a 10,000-panel graphic novel of me taking a spoonful of cereal from a bowl, right? And just lifting it up to my mouth. If you want, I could just break it down by microseconds, by nanoseconds. Or I could do you a two-panel sequence of the entire history of the universe, right? Big Bang, heat death, you're done. So that means that you can slice it up any way you like. And yet, if I asked you, hey, what did you do yesterday? There's a part of your mind that immediately leverages this tremendous neural horsepower to deciding what matters.
I was thinking about the speech bubble in a comic book and realizing how odd that is if you really think about it.
Speech bubbles happen as early as certain European broadsheets. and they are speech bubbles. There's no question about it. You know, I could show you something from 1600, 1500, where they're in the shape of scrolls, but they are dialogue coming out of people's mouths. So yeah, this was going to happen no matter what, because dialogue, speech, it's part of life, and anything that purports to represent life in any kind of artistic narrative medium, it's going to have to account for that in some way, shape, or form. It's very easy to forget that comics is relegated to just one of the five senses. Traditionally, of course, yeah. Now that's beginning to change a little bit with various mutations online and whatnot. But yeah, it's strange because it really doesn't feel that way. It does feel multimedia. And that's partially because many feel that it's this agglomeration of words and pictures. But yeah, the evolution of those symbols, though, I mean, word balloons are certainly the most visible, but the other ones I do find very interesting. I talk in Understanding Comics about things like sweat beads and how you can see the evolution of written language even in the pictorial symbols, and the fact that a sweat bead is a pictorial symbol that gradually drifted, so that rather than a little sweat bead on cheek, you would see a sweat bead drawn beside a face, so that it began to emanate from the face to the extent that it became a symbol that simply indicated the inner state. And now you can find manga where robots will have sweat beads on them, and it's simply a signifier of emotion. And in a lot of ways, that drift is the exact same drift you had in many pictorial-based written languages, especially in the Far East, where something would begin as simply a drawing of a chair or a drawing of a horse, and that over decades or even centuries of writing, they would become more and more abstract. That's exactly what's happening in comics.
The book is Understanding Comics, The Invisible Art, and its author is cartoonist and theorist Scott McCloud. You can listen to the full interview on our website at 99%invisible.org. The full conversation includes topics like superhero comics, fire safety graphics, and the infidelity of bike path signs. It'll make sense when you hear it. 99% Invisible is Delaney Hall, Kurt Kohlstedt, Katie Mingle, Sharif Youssef, Avery Truffleman, Emmett Fitzgerald, Taryn Mazza, Sean Rial, and me, Roman Mars. Edited for radio by J.C. Howard. We are a project of 91.7 KALW and Radiotopia. Find out more at 99pi.org.